we got the backstory, and you know, you stayed down until you came up, but I'm interested in the come up. So, all right, you stayed in your mom's crib for 9 months, no haircut, just walked the dog, just on some real Will Smith Pursuit of Happiness, just figuring it out.
Right.
All right, so what happened? Like, you just had like an epiphany, and it's like, I got it. Like, what? Can you explain me how you woke out of that darkness and reemerged to the sunlight?
Yeah, so when I went out of business with the box trucks, my sole purpose of my research was to identify what I did wrong and apply the correct information to my operations. And the first thing I realized is like, yo, I need to get the 18-wheeler. Like, the box trucks is cool, but the 18-wheeler is going to definitely like open up my options now. It was so funny because when I would be on the low ball with the box trucks, I would have to do the search for 26 foot, right? I can only look for lows that would fill up to 26 foot of a trailer. But I would just sometimes just get curious and like, let me see what the 18-wheeler loads look like. So it'll be like 80 loads available for box trucks, but 4,000 loads available for 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, man, like them 18-wheelers is eating. So that was the first thing I realized during my research is like, yo, I need to get an 18-wheeler. So when I got the 18-wheeler and I started rolling with that one, it was like night and day. It was like night and day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I learned how to negotiate. I learned how to read the market. I learned how to position my trucks.
So you said that before as far as, all right. So just to get the first 18-wheeler, did you finance that? Did you lease it?
First 18-wheeler, I was able to get that for really cheap. This dude that I know, he was going through a divorce, and I think his wife was trying to take everything from him. He was like, yo, just give me a price. I literally paid about $7,800 first.
$7,800?
18-wheeler.
How much does it cost, like, on average?
For a good truck that you know that we recommend getting, is going to be anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000.
And that's brand new or used?
Nah, about 2016, 2015.
All right, so a used truck.
Yeah, used truck.
But you always only
I got an old one.
You only recommend used trucks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Because a brand new truck is going to run you upwards of $100,000+, right? And it's going to get you the same results as a semi-used truck. You know what I'm saying? It's all about getting a truck that, you know, the warranty, you got a good warranty on it, it's inspected. And if you get you a really good used truck, it's going to get you the same results, but you'll be able to make your money back a lot faster.
So between 45 to 60 for a used one?
50 to 60.
50 to 60. Yeah. How's the financing on that? Is there a certain amount you have to leave down to get that type of truck?
Yeah, so there's different ways. So if you're an investor, right, if you don't have a CDL, by the way, I don't have a CDL. Never drove a truck before. Don't plan on driving a truck.
You're not trying to drive.
Nah. You know what I'm saying? That's why I got so much respect for drivers, because I don't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. So as an investor, you're going to put down an average of about 30% down.
Okay.
Right? 30% down is what I've been seeing for the last few years with you know, these banks at the actual dealerships, right? Mm-hmm. But there's different ways that you can come into the game. You can actually go through the truck dealership, right? And if you go through that route as an investor, it's going to be 30%. But if you have a CDL, it's going to be a little bit less down, let's say around 15 to 20%. And the reason why it's less for somebody who actually owns a CDL is because the risk is a lot less for the banks. They're looking at it like, hey, look, if you're an investor, you don't have a CDL, you get a truck and you don't have a driver, there's a higher chance that you're going to default on your loan because your truck's just going to be sitting. Mm-hmm. Versus somebody who has a CDL, they could actually just hop in their truck and go generate some money to pay their notes. So again, 30% is the average down on a $50,000, $60,000 truck for an investor with no CDL, and about 15 to 20% down is the average that I've been seeing if you have a CDL. We call them owner operators, dudes who own their trucks and operate their trucks as well. What I recommend though, the best scenario as far as getting into the game though, is just having like decent credit and having relationships with your own bank. A credit union, for example, right? Some of these credit unions will finance you up to 100%, right? So you don't have to put a bunch of money down for the truck. So in those scenarios, you'll be looking at getting into the game with about 10 grand. Because now all you got to pay for is your insurance down payment, your license, your DOT numbers, your tags, etc. So that's the cheapest way to get into the game, is getting financing directly from your credit union, just bringing them a bill of sales. Like, hey, look, this is the bill of sales. Can you guys finance this truck? You're gonna get the best interest rate through your credit union, and that's the best way.
Yeah, I did my first like two cars through my credit union. Mm-hmm. It was just like they take the money right out your check, so it's
absolutely,
like you never have to worry about it. And the interest rate, like you said, is a lot lower.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's a good wrap.
So you said as far as reading the market. What does that mean?
Reading the market, like so trucking literally changes every week, like literally every week. Like Atlanta could be the hot zone this week as far as freight. When I say supply and demand, I'm talking about loads to truck ratio. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, like, for example, I think the last time I checked, Atlanta had about 3,900 loads, and they had about 1,400 trucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's certain parts of the city right now. Wisconsin is one of them, hot right now. Wisconsin had about, I want to say about 5,000 loads and like 800 trucks available in the last business day. What does that mean to y'all?
There's a lot of supply. You're going to be able to charge a higher amount because it's not enough.
It ain't enough trucks.
Ain't enough trucks out there.
So now we have all these shippers, that's fighting for trucks now. So what are they going to have to do to make sure that their load gets moved?
Pay top dollar.
That's where the negotiating power comes in at. So if you don't understand, okay, this week, Atlanta, Virginia, Tennessee is hot. I need to position my trucks up there. If you don't know that, you're going to miss out. And that's what I specialize in. I specialize in knowing where to position my trucks at to get that top dollar. Because all it is connecting the dots. We're going from one city to the next city to the next city, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times what I was messing up at is I would just take the best paying load going wherever, not realizing that when I got there, it wasn't no loads there, right? So I'm thinking like, okay, I'm about to eat on this $3,000 load, not realizing when I get to Iowa, for example, right? I'm gonna have to drive probably 500 miles to get to another good load. So now I done put most of my profit back into the fuel tank to get to that next market. So it's not just about booking the load that day. It's about looking at where the load is going and what that market is looking like as well.
So you said it changes weekly. How do you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's like website. How do you keep
I think you said something about trucks having seasons. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we got peak seasons. We got slow seasons. We got times where produce is real high at that time. And, you know, like, that's around April to, like, July is produce season.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The freight rates go up because it's more demand for trucks, right? But we actually have on some of the load boards, we actually have a feature that shows you all the hot zones in the whole country.
Mm.
So we can literally go on there and see what's going on in the market.
Mm.
Right.
Anybody has access to those load boards, or
you have to have an active authority in order to have access.
What does
to
that mean? Active
your DOT number.
Okay.
You know, your DOT number is the number that's on the side of all the trucks, and you have to have that activated in order for you to have access to that load board. So the general public just couldn't go on and look at the load board.
They probably wouldn't even understand it, even if they did.
Nah,
it's like reading Spanish.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to like a search engine for like Travelocity. Like if you're traveling, it's similar to that. But if you just knew nothing about it, you would definitely need to get trained on how to actually operate with it.
So you have like a map in your office where you have like, okay, I'm going to go from Atlanta to Philly to New York to Chicago. And this is going to like, how do you calculate the math on it to say, because like you said, that's a good point. Like it might be good money going to Iowa, but now you got to come back to Atlanta. You don't really have any other stops in between. So like, do you have a set idea? Okay, you need to hit at least 5 stops every, what's it like, 500 miles, something like that? Or you don't do more than 500 miles, like 50 miles, something like that? Or is that like a formula? Or
Whenever I book a load, and I brought a couple here for example, just to show you guys, right? But whenever you book a load, it's important that you know how much money you're going to be making after the load is complete. So I just bought like the load. We're doing a load right now as we speak. One of my drivers picked up a load yesterday, right? The load is picking up in Tennessee, in LaVerge, Tennessee. It picked up yesterday on the 20th, and it's going to Franklin, Massachusetts, delivering on Monday, right? They're paying me $2,400 for that load, right? So when I look at that load, I got to figure out how many miles is from the origin to the destination. So I did the math. It's about 1,000 miles. So now I got to figure out how much fuel is it going to take for me to complete that load. So we're going to take the rate that the load is paying. So we have $2,400, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that it's 1,000 miles. So I got to figure out how much fuel am I going to need to get this job complete. So we're just going to take 1,000 miles. We're going to divide that by 6 miles per gallon because that's the average that each truck uses.
Is it 6 miles?
Yeah.
That's
what you get. Eight miles if you got a good truck. But I'm just going to do worst case scenario, right? So divide that by 6, right? So I know it's going to take me 166 gallons of diesel in order to complete that load from Tennessee to Massachusetts, right? So all I'm going to do is I'm going to times the average amount of diesel, the price for diesel, which is about $3.25 right now, right? So that's showing me right there. Out of that $2,400, I'm going to have to use 540 of it on fuel.
Just to get there and get back.
Right. So me personally, everybody pays their drivers differently. I pay my drivers a percentage. Right? So I pay my drivers 20% or whatever that loan's paying. So just remember that number right there. So we're going to do 2,400 times 20%. It's $480. Remember that number? And then going up there, we got tolls. So I'm going to say, I think going up there is going to be about $180 in tolls, right? So if we do $2,400 minus, was it $540
for money gas?
How much was the driver
pay?
$480
minus $180 in tolls. So we had $11.99 on a profit.
That's your profit.
That's my profit that I see on Monday. So she picked up the load yesterday, drove this while I'm with you guys right now. My truck is driving right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Right? And by the time I wake up on Monday morning, it's delivering at 7 a.m. She's going to deliver. By the time I wake up, I'll be able to get $11.99 in my bank account by 5:30 p.m. That's another thing about trucking that I love is that it's liquid. Every single day I'm getting deposits in our business account. You know, I don't got to wait 30 days to get paid.
Yeah.
Right? We pick up a load on a Monday. We deliver on a Tuesday. We get paid on a Tuesday. So at the end of the day, we have a factoring company. A factoring company is a third-party bank that literally purchases our invoices from us. Right now, my volume is so high, I started off at 3%. I'm down to 1% right now. So I get charged 1% to get paid same day, and they wait 30 days to get paid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Wow.
Right? So when you talk about people who are in other industries like real estate or they do deals where they need finance, you know how attractive it looks to a bank to see daily deposits into your account? When I go to my bank, they harass me. You sure you don't want the line of credit? You sure you don't want a line of credit today? Because I'm a lower risk because they seeing that
you got money coming in,
that daily deposit coming in.
Nah, that's dope.
That's
so
crazy.
All right, how do you get drivers? Like, what's the process to that?
Yeah, and that's the hardest part of our industry. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and just tell y'all the good part, right? You know what I'm saying? If anybody just tells you the good part of anything, just run away from them, right? That's the biggest obstacle in our industry. Why? Because we're talking about the human factor right here. We're talking about people, right? Personalities. And with the drivers, they don't have to necessarily be the most polished people. You know, this is an industry where we hire felons. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they don't have to have education. It is what it is, right? So the thing about drivers is that this is a very challenging job. This job requires them to be away from their families, right? This job requires them to be driving at sometimes 11 hours straight in a day. Drivers are only allowed to drive for 11 hours straight.
Yeah.
They're allowed to be on duty for 14 hours.
Okay.
And they're allowed to, and then they have to shut down for 10 hours. Mm. Right? Everybody can't drive for 11 hours straight every single day.
That's tough.
Right? So I got so much respect for drivers, man. And just shout out to the drivers out there, man. Like, the world would stop without y'all. You know what I'm saying? So I just got a lot of respect for y'all, and that's why I treat my drivers really, really well. And we're gonna get into the portal and all that, what I train on. But you know, I know sites that, you know, I go on sites and I put out an attractive ad. That's the first step.
Yeah, I wrote it down, man. When I saw the ad, you were like, "We're gonna pay you more by accident than ever shorten you on purpose." Yeah. And I was like, "Wow."
That's not even on my ad. That's what I tell my drivers actually after I get them. But I tell them all the time because one of the biggest things when I'm doing these driver interviews, I'm like, "Yo, why did you leave your last job? Like, what made you leave?" And 80% of the time, it's because their previous employee was playing with their money, right? That's the number one excuse that I hear why drivers leave companies is they playing with the money. So I tell them all the time, like, "Look, I'll pay you more on accident before I short you on purpose. It's my honor to pay you. You're helping me feed my family. I don't have a CDL. We both got a role to play. So it's my honor to pay you." And just treating them with respect. And I don't treat them like they work for me. I treat them like business partners. You got a role to play. I got a role to play. Your role is to make sure that load gets there on time, right? Safely. And communication. And my job is to make sure that your truck is safe. It's operating correctly. The loads are there. And you get your paycheck.
Yeah, one of the things you do with your trucks is you put extra equipment inside the truck just in the event that there is something that happens from a mechanical standpoint.
Preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
Is what it's called. It's not just about reacting when the truck breaks down. It's how can I decrease my truck's possibility of breaking down? You know, and what I've shared with people is how I was able to decrease my breakdowns by 21% in 2019. This is little things that I've done. Little extra things that you can do to just help yourself on that road. You know, whatever belts that your truck uses, right? We got an alternator belt, we got an AC belt. just put an extra set of belts in your truck, right? Keep antifreeze, keep oil in there, keep fuses, keep light bulbs, keep an extra spare tire or two.
Right.
Little fixes that can have you shut down for 5 hours waiting on roadside. If you already have the part there, it's going to save you some time and save you some money.
Save you a lot of money. Right? Mm-hmm. They're going to charge you a bill just to look at it.
So how do you, all right. So you have a truck, you have the whole operation, you have drivers and all that, but you got to have product to move, right? So mm-hmm. is most companies like freelance or do you have set contracts mm-hmm. with people long term? Is it a combination of both? Yeah. Like, how does that work?
So when you first come into this game, you know, the low board is pretty much your best friend at that point, right? When you just fresh in the game, you got to develop relationships. Mm-hmm. So the low board is where we started off at.
The load board.
Yeah.
That's the website, right?
Yeah, that's the website.
What's it? Loadboard.com?
No, it's dat.com. D-A-T. It's cool. We have the dat board and we have truckstop.com.
Okay.
Okay? Those are the two big ones.
Okay.
So on this load board, there's brokers. You know, these are the people who have the loads that we have to call and negotiate with. Right? So what I did was we just did good business. Right? We stressed being on time. We stressed delivering a good service. And what happened is we would just be meeting all these different brokers every day from booking different loads in different cities. And then I ended up doing this load that I really liked. But it was a load that picked up in Georgia and it went to Cleveland, Tennessee. And it was twice a day, right? You would pick up in Atlanta. You would go to Cleveland, Tennessee, which is right there by Chattanooga. It's like 2 hours away.
Oh, 2 hours? Okay.
2 hours away, right? And they was paying us $750 to go 2 hours away and back, and we was doing it twice a day, okay? So we was generating $1,500 a day going up twice. And I loved it, right? We did it for like a week. It was like this project they was working on, right? And then I looked at the numbers that week. I was like, yo, this is dope. So I hit the broker up, like, yo, how often do y'all do these loads? He was like, man, it's funny you ask that, man. We just got an extension on this project. We're going to be doing this for the next 9 months.
Wow.
Right? So I'm like, wow. He was like, yeah, you know what, man? We had like about five different companies on this load, but y'all actually executed the best. Y'all communicated. Whenever something was a delay, you called me immediately. You let me know what was going on. He was like, man, would you know, how many trucks do you guys have? Would you guys like to, do this full time? At the time, I think we was at about five or six trucks. I was like, yeah, I'll give you all my trucks. And man, when I tell you, this was 2017. We ran this load for the whole year, right? And that was the year I was able to level up on my cash.
That was the entire business. It was just working with this.
That. Okay. Yeah. They was moving one plant from Cleveland, Tennessee to Atlanta. We was moving an entire plant for a Fortune 500 company to Atlanta. That 9 months ended up turning into 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And then it ended up turning into 9 years now.
how profitable is your business as far as like truck or on average? Like how much can a truck make?
Right now, and I like to under-promise and overachieve, right? I don't like to give the high numbers. I like to give the low-ball numbers, right? With the way that we do it, each truck should be able to generate you anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 a week, take home, after all expenses are paid. That's with a truck that's not breaking down. That's with a good driver, and that's with a full week of work. We don't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to at least take home about $1,500 a week per truck.
And of course, you can have multiple trucks. And
yeah, it's a volume game after that.
That's how you got your trust, right? The first truck paid for the second
truck.
That's
what I did. Money management is how you scale up. You know, I had to make a lot of sacrifices in the first couple of years. And instead of using the money and buying frivolous things, I would just reinvest it back into the company. I would reinvest it in new equipment, right?
Yeah.
And then once you jump up to four, five, six trucks, then the money, that's when it gets real crazy.
We call that a fleet.
And you know what I'm saying? I've been doing this game for like what 6 years now, and I just really started like buying stuff like this year.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like I just started really like enjoying life and traveling. I made my sacrifice. I reinvested in my company, right?
That's the common theme for almost every one of our guests. Almost it's funny you say that because literally we've had people from the music industry, people from real estate, developers, trucking now, and the one common theme. It's exactly what you said. Like you got, it's all money in. Like you got to put the money in, and that's something that it sounds simple, but nobody wants to do that. As soon as you get profit, people want to live off that on some selfish, like just go to the mall and just ball out. And it's like that's not how it works. And it's like you try to explain that to people, and they still don't understand.
You got to pay your dues. You got to pay your dues, man. And you know, like I said, this year I went and bought my dream car. I went and,
what's
you know,
your car?
The S63 Coupe.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. I see you got the Mercedes pendant. Did they give that to you?
That came with it. That came with it. It's from Brooklyn, for real, y'all.
But yeah, man, you know, like I paid my dues. So like any success that I've seen, I'm unapologetic for it because I put in the work for it.
Nah, we never apologize about making a profit. That's what we're in business for.
You in a business, like you said, it's a $700 billion industry.
Absolutely.
And you're like, honestly, you're the first person I know that's doing it. It's really? So crazy.
Can I tell you why?
First black person for sure.
You just hit on the head. Yeah. We are minorities in this industry. We're minorities. Yo, let me tell y'all something. I went to Louisville, Kentucky. It's this big truck show that they do every year in Louisville, Kentucky. It's called a Matt's Truck Show, right? Thousands of people. I mean, they bring these trucks. It's like tricked out trucks. They got classes there. It's the biggest convention in the trucking industry, right? Every year. I went there last year, and I'm walking through the crowd, y'all, and I had a couple of my students with me. It was about 8 of us, right? And we played a game. The game was, how many minorities can you find in this crowd? It's mind-blowing how much of a minority we are in this industry. And I'm going to tell you, they just messed up and let me figure it out. They messed up and
let me
in. They should have never let me in, bro. They messed up letting me in.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.